Welcome to the First Take, Your Take podcast. We're going to do something new. We're starting the podcast with my take. Yes, after this, you're going to get all of First Take, Your Take, every way you could possibly want. We want to start off by giving you some of my thoughts. We got First Take and Your Take today a lot on LeBron and what we saw this weekend. What does it mean? When you look at a win over the Bucks and you look at the win over the Clippers, what does it all mean moving forward? I think what we have to understand when we're looking at the NBA right now is that we're making things too complicated. I know this sounds strange because we're watching all of these regular season games. What we're trying to figure out is where do you assign value, right? Because everything's about playoff basketball. So where can we assign value when we're looking at the regular season? And that's a really difficult question to answer. At some point, you have to stop thinking and simply observing in the moment. So often in society, I think we're just sort of bogged down by the what ifs. What if this and then this might happen and well, then that could happen. It happens for so many of us in our lives, in our careers. Somebody comes in and says, hey, there might be a new job opportunity. Well, it could mean that and this and then all of a sudden you're sort of crippled into the ability where you can't move because you've analyzed everything so much. So I think we approach the NBA season so often. Because we want to find this great value in what a full regular season means, we suddenly overanalyze every single minute. What does that mean? The answer is, it's right in front of us. Who are the Bucks? The Bucks are a two superstar team. One is an MVP, another's a high-level player. If those two players are playing at their absolute best, and I mean Middleton and Giannis, obviously, if those two players are playing at their absolute best, they're creating matchups and mismatches that make it difficult to defend them and beat them. If both of their guys are on, they can beat a lot of people. If either of their guys are not, they can't. It's very simple. Who are the Lakers? The Lakers are two absolute superstars, two of the top five players in the NBA playing together with a supporting cast of people that have a lot of experience and a lot of ability. All right, I would put the supporting cast of the Lakers obviously ahead of the supporting cast of the Bucks. That supporting cast gets a little more credit. Kyle Kuzma has not stepped up the way that we have expected, but he is still a very good player, and they've proven that they can get solid defensive effort and solid scoring from across the landscape. So then, the third of these teams.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Feels like we've spent the entire NBA season making some sort of excuse why the Lakers need to do more, why the Lakers aren't built to be as good as they possibly can, why somebody else is out there ready to take down Los Angeles. Over the weekend, we were reminded, quite simply, the Lakers are ready for everybody. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and, of course, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We want you to hang out with us on the show. Penzo, Performance Line, a massive weekend for the Lakers. So now what we're asking you after this big weekend, who you got as your favorite to win it all in the NBA and why? Who you got and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. And all of this comes because of a huge weekend. In fact, on Friday, we asked you what was more likely, a sweep or that the Lakers would get swept from two big games, one over the Bucks, one of the Clippers. Well, we got our answer as not only did the Lakers beat the Bucks, they also beat the Clippers. And in the process, LeBron was spectacular. 37-8-8 against the Bucks in a 10-point win. And then not to be outdone, 28-7-9 in a 9-point win over the Clippers on Sunday. So we take this whole weekend and we're trying to digest it. And what does it mean? We'll give you the Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk comes not just about the Lakers, but about LeBron individually, as he essentially took over both games and said, you know what? This is my team. This is my league. The question is, now that we've seen that, is it time to just remember yet again, did the weekend prove LeBron is the best player in the world? ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to debate the status of LeBron as the current best player in the world.
What I appreciate about LeBron James so much this weekend is that we have Milwaukee Friday, the Greek Freaks coming into town. We talk about him being the league MVP. Kawhi Leonard, the reigning NBA Finals MVP, is in town. It's their home game. We all been waiting for you to go against them, and we called you out because to us, the two occasions when you went against them earlier, you came up short, and you answered the call. You were trying to win. You were trying to do things the right way, but as I said before on many occasions, within the crevices of 48 minutes, there comes a moment in time in the game of basketball, at least a couple of moments, where it's me and you. It ain't about anybody else at this particular moment in time. It could be 2 minutes, it could be 3 minutes, it could be 5 minutes, it could be a minute. But at some point in time, it's me and you, and let me remind you who the hell I am. LeBron James, in our estimation, didn't do that in the first two games. He shied away from it. This weekend, especially Friday night, when you're attacking and getting physical with Giannis and you're guarding him, especially yesterday when you posting up Kawhi and you're reminding people, excuse me, I'm 6'9", 250, I'm that dude. That's what I loved about what I saw from LeBron yesterday. He answered the personal call, not just being a great teammate and a great player, and I love that. Because that's what makes box office.
When you watch him play, for me, being the best in the world, I can give it to you any way I want to. Or I can pass it, or I can lock you up, or I can make a shot when I need to. I can punish you in the post. I can drive you, right? So when I think about LeBron James, I sometimes think we overlook his greatness because we always want to find what's wrong with LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Stephen A., I hear what you're saying about the beginning of the year. I don't measure a man by where he is at the beginning of the year. I measure a man by how he closes the year and what he does in the playoffs, in particular for LeBron James. The way he defended Giannis. Giannis is the most dominant player in the game. Mm-hmm. He's not the most skilled. We've seen people draw lines and draw walls against him, and we've seen him be frustrated against that. We saw Miami do that. We saw the Lakers do that. I see Kawhi. I don't know if I can say Kawhi is the best player in the world because Kawhi is always managing injuries. I think he's one of the, it's interesting him with his injuries. He's managing injuries. He can give it to you in segments, but can he do that? Is it sustainable throughout the entire course of the year? I consider that to be greatness too. I watched LeBron James and the fact that he had 37, 9, and 7 against Giannis and took on the challenge of guarding Giannis, dominating Giannis. He took on the challenge of guarding Kawhi, dominating Kawhi to a degree. Like, that is the sign of the best player
Let me piggyback off that. At the end of the season, you find out who the MVP is. I mean, the total season, including the playoffs. That doesn't mean your team has to win the championship. Mm-hmm. Because even when the KD Steph Warriors won back-to-back championships, at the end of the season, I always thought LeBron James is the MVP. Mm-hmm. Meaning, to me, he's the best player in the game. Mm-hmm. That's the guy you want. Last year, LeBron wasn't there. At the end of the season, I said, it's Kawhi.
But Max, wait a second, though. Wait a second with last year, though. Last year, he was on a team that struggled with injuries. Like, before they got that All-Star break, the Lakers, they got to the All-Star break, they were third in the West.
He was.
Now, I just want to say this. If you put LeBron James back in the East on a team that is pretty
but
decent.
But we don't know. That's conjecture.
It's not conjecture. He did it for what, 13 years?
We don't know what was going to happen last season. What we do know is what happened. So at the end of all those seasons in a row, LeBron's the best player in the game. I don't care who got regular season MVP. I don't care who won the championship. It's obvious by the end. It's LeBron. Last year, it was obviously Kawhi. This year, it's open. I love the way LeBron closed in the fourth quarter, by the way. He was all over every play. But Stephen A., one of these two guys is likely to win finals MVP this season. The only player it'll be to win finals MVP for three different teams, either Kawhi or LeBron. That guy will be the best player in the world.
But let me tell you where I have a problem with both of y'all, and today especially you.
You always have a problem.
Let me explain. And I'm very, very serious about what I'm about to say because it's a pet peeve of mine. Mm. I didn't say anything about measuring the player or the greatness of LeBron. A matter of fact, I've been on record on many, many occasions talking about we shouldn't judge him until April, May, and June because he's earned the right. That's not what I'm talking about here, Jay. I'm saying I'm sick and tired of the common fan being ignored. Let me give you an example. Opening night of the NBA season, when Kawhi decided to go to the Clippers, and we knew LeBron was already in L.A., throughout the football season, when we talked about basketball, what the hell did we talk about? We didn't talk about May and June. We talked about opening night because the Lakers were going up against the Clippers. There is nothing wrong with the average fan out there not looking ahead to May and June. Finding nuggets within a regular season to say, damn, oh, this is hype. I can't wait for it. Because they pay prices for that too. These games are not free. So what I'm saying is when LeBron comes out there opening night, we know how great he is. But if you come out there opening night and I'm going like this, listen, Steve, if I'm sitting there, what did the stars do for us? They sat up there and they gave us those moments.
Can you please stop comparing LeBron James to the killer mentality of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant?
I'm not comparing
it. You are, because those guys attack every day.
No, I'm not doing that.
You are.
I'm talking about the hell with it.
You're saying, I compete differently.
No.
I understand that. But
I'm saying you would.
Competition conversation is so interesting because it forgets that generations attack things differently. As players, basketball was different then. Regular season basketball was approached differently then. And as much as we sit here and we have these conversations about killer mentality for LeBron, let's also acknowledge that the NBA was approached completely differently during the regular season. And what I love is you got old guy that's like, get off my lawn guy that's sitting there saying, oh, load management. No, the old players didn't have to do that. Well, I get that. But also look at the way their bodies were built. Look at what we figured out in science. Like, it's interesting that we keep drawing back to some comparison of LeBron based on what Michael Jordan did. Let's talk about LeBron today versus the players today that he's playing against. And when you look at LeBron today, you're looking at a player that when he wants to impose his will, does impose his will. And you're looking at a player that frankly has been able to more often than not will a team, even when they're not good around him, to an NBA championship because he's that stinking good. The funny part about it is we're so drilled into whatever our existing narrative on LeBron is that if you're looking at the Clippers matchup last night, how many of you out there are saying, oh, it's a Clippers issue. They don't have the right defenders at the rim. Really? Really? No, it's a LeBron issue because when LeBron is that good, he's the best ever. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We want you to give us your take. Who are the favorites now to win it all? I want you to tell me who and why. Maybe it's still the Clippers. Maybe it's still the Bucks. Maybe you saw something this weekend that changed your weekend, or changed your mindset. But it was a huge weekend for the Lakers. So what impact did it have on you? Stephen A. was just talking about the common fan. I want to know what the impact is from fans' eyes after this weekend's action. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Let's go to David in Long Beach. David, what do you got? Thanks for calling. What's your take?
Hey, I was just having a take on the MVP race.
Yeah, give it to me.
Wondering, you know, when we had boxing matches and you have a heavyweight that's defending the title and a challenger comes in, unless the challenger wipes the floor with it, you know, with the heavyweight champ, we're not going to give a draw, you know, to whatever. It's not going to be a draw. They're going to call it in favor of the champ.
Yeah, that's a one-on-one sport, right? I mean, basketball is still, as much as we are trying to make it a nice, and thanks for the call. I appreciate the mindset. But as much as we're trying to make the NBA a bunch of isolated matchups, let's also acknowledge the fact that it is still a team sport. Imagine if it was tag team boxing. I really want that to exist now. If it was tag team boxing and you know that the best boxer didn't win, but the best team did. I mean, that's just sort of what happens in team sports. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Oh, I love this. Tell me, Sammy in Missouri, what are your thoughts? Who's the biggest at this point? Who should be the favorites to win it all?
I think the Bucks are still favorites to win it all. I mean, the only reason I feel that the Lakers won because Chris Middleton just shot terrible and completely bad that game. And it was a bunch of open shots that he missed, nothing that a defender put on him. That's what my opinion.
Yeah, well, and I don't disagree that it wasn't the best night for Middleton. And you all know I basically, like, I should get a Bucks face tattoo at this point. I feel like I talk about him so much on ESPN. But let's be real. I mean, Middleton not shooting well is a reminder that the Bucks don't have somewhere else to turn. It's Giannis and, ooh. And that knee injury is going to be a concern for everybody moving forward. Hopefully it doesn't linger. In the meantime, I just mentioned it. Don't forget, by the way, through all the NBA, you want to download a Vivid Seat. Download the Vivid Seat app. Enter promo code ESPN25 at checkout. Get you 10% off your next order. Don't buy just any seat. Get a Vivid Seat. So A lot of people had the vivid seat to the Sunday matchup between the Clippers and the Lakers. I just said it. In an attempt to take any credit away from whatever LeBron did, now people are saying, whoa, it's a Clippers issue. In fact, ESPN Get Up host Mike Greenberg joined Max and Stephen A. to debate whether or not they even still believe in the clip.
Now when we look at the Clippers and we talk about them, listen, talent-wise, in terms of how they're built, whatever, I don't knock Max or anybody else for calling the Clippers their favorite. I had to sit up there and modify my thinking, and particularly when they acquired Marcus Morris and then they acquired Reggie Jackson. Now, the Lakers went out and did some things as well. I'm not sure Deion Waiters was the right guy because I don't view him as a point guard, but he is a guy that can score. He's got a lot of heart. He ain't scared. And he's a former teammate of LeBron James. And when they were teammates in Cleveland, Deion Waiters' first 2 years in the league, he averaged better than 14 points per game. So I think that he could do some things, even though I consider him to be a version of KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But again, that's neither here nor there. When you talk about the Lakers and the Clippers, I think that what we saw yesterday is a reminder of what the Lakers can do if they bring their game. Now, they'll have to do that to beat somebody like the Clippers. Mm-hmm. But to see both squads healthy, to see how formidable the Lakers are defensively, particularly in the interior, guarding the basket. I can't ignore that because especially LeBron James' willingness to post and attack the basket. When he does that, he's a different animal. The only last thing that I'll say is this. Kawhi Leonard. We all know he's all world on both ends of the floor. He's big time. The man had not one single assist yesterday. Not one single assist. Now, this cyborg, call him whatever you want to call him. But guess what? LeBron James ain't the only one that needs to bring his A game in order to deliver. Kawhi Leonard needs to bring his A game, too.
I think this probably did a lot for the Lakers' confidence as well.
Yes, it should.
Can I answer your question directly?
Yes, please.
The Lakers have been the team to beat for the championship from the moment they acquired Anthony Davis, and that was on full display yesterday. In any series they play, they will have two of the three best players on the court. And in most series, they will have the two best players on the court. LeBron James is without question the player you want on your team, regardless of what your other options are. You might want to give, I know that you would vote for Giannis for the MVP right now. I won't fight you on it, although I would vote for LeBron. But in a playoff series, there is no question I would take LeBron over him.
Absolutely.
And I would definitely take LeBron over Kawhi Leonard. And I will say this.
Kawhi.
Yes. Absolutely. LeBron
so
James.
How come you're so
absolutely.
Because of his resume?
LeBron James is one of the three or four greatest players that ever lived and elevates when it matters. And I will say this. Not only would Kawhi Leonard not have won the championship last year if Kevin Durant doesn't get hurt, he would not have gotten out of the East. Let me say that directly into that camera. He would not have gotten out of the East if LeBron was still in it. Toronto does not come out of the East. I don't care who they acquire if LeBron James
Kawhi
is
Leonard
still in
Cleveland. Kawhi Leonard has already won an MVP in the finals over LeBron, specifically for the defense he played before Kawhi even knew how to play basketball.
So having Tim Duncan as a teammate doesn't really matter?
Well, now let's talk about teammates. Your point is ridiculous about the Warriors and not giving it to KD when you said it was a direct... Because it was uneven. The Cavs were great and so were the Warriors. But there are levels to this, as Meek Mill said. The Warriors were arguably the greatest collection of talent ever assembled. Meaning, just because KD's team beats LeBron's team in a head-to-head matchup doesn't mean KD's better than LeBron.
No. But you're misrepresenting my position. I'm not saying that you're wrong about that. I'm saying you refused. You refuse to give anybody credit over LeBron when LeBron lost.
Let me say why.
But LeBron is injured last year. You want to say it's confiscated.
Fair point.
That's my point.
I will explain why. Eyeballs on that series, it was clear to me, as well as KD played, LeBron was the best player on the floor. Both times, LeBron was better than everyone. KD closed the gap the second time, but LeBron was still best. First time, I don't think it was close. Now let's talk about what happened last year. LeBron, because he wisened up, realized I can't keep my foot on the gas the entire regular season and ball in the playoffs the way I want to as I age. So he took his time in the regular season. Other people could have regular season MVPs.
He got
said
hurt.
It. Steph,
he had
KD, this, that. Hold on. Then in the playoffs, he could remind us what was there. At the age of 34, when he didn't get to show us in the playoffs and someone else had one of the great all-time playoff series in the history of basketball,
no,
that dude can't
we
be
We don't
penalized.
View it that. First of all, we don't view it like that because, again, LeBron wasn't in the Eastern Conference. You had a situation where Kawhi Leonard is going up against a young pup in the Greek Freak. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons weren't necessarily ready, and KD and Klay Thompson weren't available in the finals. So by virtue of that reality, is, are those realities alone. It wasn't the greatest thing that we've ever seen. That's the whole point.
ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget, Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. When they're asking Max if he's still sure about the Clippers, remember the one thing that Max has been sure about the Clippers for all year. This conversation about the Clippers has rarely been about the Clippers we've seen today. Yes, they lost to the Lakers with their top eight on the floor. I understand that. But the conversation about the Clippers has been the reason that they will be so difficult to get out in the playoffs is because their depth is better built for a seven-game playoff series. Why would anything we saw in Lakers-Clippers, this matchup of it, this iteration, this one-time offer of it, why would it change any of the mindset around that? If you believe that depth is the reason that a seven-game playoff series will be different, what did you see yesterday that changed that belief? This was one game. This was not the chess match that the NBA playoffs are. In the meantime, what is our takeaway? We saw what we expect to see at times when you have a one-game sample. We saw the best player in the world take over and be the best player in the world. It's First Take, Your Take. What did you see? It was a huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. So now that you've seen it all, who should be the favorites to win it all and why? I want to know why. Also, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also get in on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know I'm all about your take getting into this. Ali on Twitter says, with how the Lakers are playing right now, it's them as a close second to the Bucks, but let's reevaluate this after the first round of the playoffs. That's interesting. Still have the Bucks, even with the loss, at the top of the list. Lee in Nashville joining us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Lee, you saw the big weekend. Who should be the favorites now and why?
Well, I still believe it's the Lakers because I believe it comes down to talent and they have the best duo in the league. And the other thing I would like to add to that would just be that, you know, when LeBron was in the Eastern Conference, it was the weaker of the two conferences, you know, and he kept the Cavs on top. And now that he's out West, you know, is all of a sudden the West down? I don't believe so. I believe LeBron has just shown how dominant he is, how important he is to an offense, because we see how the Lakers struggle when he's out of the game. You know, the race for MVP in my vote would have to go to him. The NBA has moved to where it's predicated on offense now. You know, they want to get attendance up. They want to keep, you know, fans interested in the game. You know, a defensive slugfest is not, you know, it's not appeasing to the eye. And so I believe that, you know, the way, you know, that's where, you know, like, Giannis's stats are coming from, you know.
Well, and I agree that Giannis is obviously right now he's billboard material, but so is LeBron. I mean, look, let's also just realize that whichever way this goes, it's a win for the NBA either way. Kevin in Florida, I want your take on all of this. Kevin, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, you know what? I watched the two-game sample of them playing the Bucks and them playing the Clippers, and I believe the Lakers are definitely the strongest team to beat going into the playoffs because everybody knows their role. They play the big man in the post really well. You know, you got JaVale McGee, you got AD, you got LeBron. All of them can block, play defense, and LeBron has elevated his game. He makes it players around him so much better, but also when crunch comes, he elevates himself unbelievably.
I agree with all of that. I think one of the smart points you're making there is the way the team has gelled together so quickly. Everybody does know exactly what they're being asked to do, and that's a huge part of it. Want you to chime in after a big weekend. Who should be the favorites in the NBA to win it all and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In addition to that, coming up next, after dropping four straight, how worried are you about small ball and the Rockets? We'll hear what First Take had to say. But first, you're the hiring manager. You're tasked with finding the most talented job candidates in your industry. That's a tall order. It's not as simple as just looking around free agency like sports. Indeed helps you narrow the field with our powerful suite of free tools to enhance your job posting. Screener questions identify quality candidates based on the must-have requirements you define, and an online skills test lets a job seeker show you just what they can do. Soon, you'll be ready to interview your short list of candidates. And right now, post your first job at Indeed.com/DJ today and get a sponsored job upgrade for free. That's Indeed.com/DJ. Terms and conditions apply. How worried are we about small ball and how panicked are they in Houston? See what First Take thought next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. All eyes this weekend were on the NBA. And of course, we've talked a lot about the Lakers, but there's another team that everybody's had their sort of heat around that are suddenly falling apart. What's it mean? It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitzworth, presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the Shell, Pennzoil Performance Line. What we're asking you, it's been a long weekend, huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers. Who should be the favorite? After seeing what the Lakers did to the Bucks and the Clippers this weekend, who should be the favorites to win it all in the NBA and why? You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of your take in just a second. We're brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Okay, we'll get to your thoughts on the Lakers and the best. But in the West, there's also another team that we've been just trying to figure out. Small ball in the Rockets has seemingly fallen apart. So now, after losing four straight, including just a dreadful loss to the Magic over the weekend, how worried is the panel about the Rockets? ESPN NBA analyst Doris Burke joined Max and Stephen A. to break down all things Houston.
Just a week and a half, 8 days ago, I'm sitting there like, Houston could beat anybody. They could go to the finals. I mean, they could beat anybody. And then lo and behold, they went to bed against the New York Knicks of all teams. And then after that, they don't know what the hell is going on. And now they've lost four straight and look like they could get bounced out in the first round. And I said it before and I'll say it again. They ain't no bigger fan of Russell Westbrook than me. This dude is an assassin, one of the most violently competitive basketball players, if not the guy on that level, in the National Basketball Association. He has not been out of the first round since Kevin Durant left OKC. At some point in time, when you are that great, you are, because we can say what we want about James Harden. James Harden's been to a couple of conference finals. He's knocking on the door. And who did he lose to? He lost to the all-world Golden State Warriors four times in the last 5 years. All right, there's no shame in that. You talk about Russell Westbrook out of the first round. You know what? I mean, at some point in time, we got to look at you unquestionably great, unquestionably fantastic in a lot of ways, but you got to win. You got to win. And right now, to me, he's going to be the key because Harden's going to be Harden. But Russell Westbrook has got to drive. He's got to find those open shooters. He's got to kick it out to people other than James Harden in order for this team to elevate to another level. Otherwise, the Houston Rockets, the same team that we were talking about, Max, could potentially go to the finals or at the very least go to the conference finals. That same team could go home in the first
round. They're going to face a tough team in the first round, no matter who it is. They might be the underdogs. They lose to good teams and bad teams. Last four games are instructive. At home and on the road. Ryan Clark said about Jameis Winston, the quarterback for Tampa. Yeah. Now we're talking NBA now, not to insult anyone's intelligence. Mm-hmm. That he could, he's the best, what'd he say? He's the best player on offense for both teams or something right? Yeah. He can be, because he can win or lose against any team on any given day. It's a big, strong arm. He throws touchdowns and throws a lot of interceptions. Mm-hmm. That's the Rockets. They can beat or lose to any team in the NBA, and it's weird because I feel like I could even say that over a seven-game series. That's what Daryl Morey did when he doubled down on micro ball or whatever it is. Yeah. We might lose. There are obvious flaws, but at least we have a puncher's chance to win. I disagree about Westbrook and Harden, though. The way I see, like, character is destiny. Westbrook does not come up small in big moments. He's just pulling so hard all the time. He only knows one way, attack. You can't ask Westbrook not to attack. It's not in his nature. What you can do is ask James Harden to hit big shots in big moments, which he hasn't done when it's mattered most. The defense, I'll give it to you. The defense, real quick, as Doris, you pointed out, has not been good. And if you're going to, like, lose Capella and go small, everyone's got to do their jobs on defense because there's no eraser protecting the rim. And the defense has been bad.
Here's what I want to say about Russell Westbrook real quick before I give it to you. Russell Westbrook has been criticized a lot of times for erratic play and, you know, decision-making at times and throughout his career is what I'm saying. This dude is no dummy. He's a highly intelligent person, okay, highly competitive, goes after it. But at some point in time, when are we going to have the conversation that your stubbornness, because of your greatness and your competitive fervor, may actually be getting in the way? Because at some point in time, like you said, he's going at it. He only knows one way. At some point in time, that's unacceptable. When you are an elite player, it's unacceptable to say, I only know how to do it one way. The greats know how to do it a variety of ways. And at some point in time, we got to say to Russell Westbrook, you're going to have to figure out a way to be more efficient when it really, really counts. Not just great in terms of numbers, not just great in terms of your competitive fervor, but knowing how to pick your spots to elevate others other than yourself. Because that's what they're going to need to do in order to win it.
Okay, so our tendency in the NBA is to overreact.
Mm-hmm.
So the Boston Celtics are on a skid, and we're not mm-hmm. being that critical of them.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, this style, because it's different, I think is polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is about a lack of toughness, a lack of focus, and a lack of swagger. All of those three things are correctable in your approach. Like Mike D'Antoni's quote, you can't play soft and then shoot bad and then play bad. They're shooting 29% on jump shots in the four games. So some of this is missing shots. It's leading to bad defense. It's leading to bad floor balance. Like, it's a plethora of things going on, which is usually the case. If you're the Rockets, you need to take a breath mm-hmm. and figure it out. And thankfully, I believe your schedule will help you. They have the seventh, if I'm not mistaken, seventh easiest schedule remaining. So that should soften a little bit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Look, I think we've gotten some of this narrative twisted on the Rockets. And look, it's easy to hate on Russell Westbrook. We've spent so long getting complacent with his statistical greatness. But I think it's wrong at this point to assume he's not evolving and that he's being stubborn. In fact, the metrics show the opposite. He's attempting his lowest amount of three-point shots per game since 2012. He's actually slashing more. He's getting to the rim more. He's doing more of what he needs to do in order to be aggressive. If there's anything that you can look at offensively as a fault in this system so far, it's actually been that James Harden's cold. James Harden hasn't been as good since the Clint Capella trade. Now, part of that is because you lose one of the big guys that you have in your offense, and you lose a quick and easy portion of your offense where you were able to float the ball into Capella and just get it done. That no longer exists. So suddenly, small ball is forcing everybody to reapproach how they design their own tactician work during a game. I would argue that the metrics show substantially that at this point, Russell Westbrook has absolutely changed. He's evolved his game since he came to Houston. He is playing a more complete game for Houston, and he's not just sitting back doing the maddening, I'm going to mail it in and shoot the ball up thing that has at times gotten his reputation in trouble. Look at the advanced metrics, and I think what you'll find is that we're hating on Russell Westbrook because it's easy to hate on somebody we hate on all the time, when in fact, it's Harden's cold streak and the lack of Capella that's making it difficult for this offense to get anything done long term. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We'll see what that looks like in the playoffs, by the way. Losing four straight's bad for the Rockets. In the meantime, we're asking you, now that you've seen a big weekend from LeBron and the Lakers, who should be the favorites to win it all, and why? Brian in Boston, who you got as the team to beat?
Brian, hey there.
Yeah, yeah. Who you got, man?
Oh, my God. The Lakers, because that was a home game for the Clippers, wasn't it? But it didn't seem like a home game. It didn't sound like a home game.
Well, and Brian, thanks for the call, man. Staples Center is never going to feel like the Clippers. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do to the colors and the rafters. It's always going to feel like it's the Lakers' home court. Why do you think they're looking at building a new stadium? You guys can keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in and tell us who you think right now the team to beat is. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz, getting a bunch of tweets there, mostly coming in at this point for the Lakers. Preston says Lakers are the favorite. Giannis won't be able to compete with LeBron and AD in the finals against LeBron, especially the passing ability plus AD's versatility. You're right. We're not even talking about AD, and that's fair. Anthony Davis has had a huge year and continues to have a huge year. So we'll continue to get your thoughts on who you think at this point should be the favorite to win it all. In the meantime, mixed in with more of your take, is Dak worth $105 million guaranteed? New reports say the numbers are starting to flow. You'll hear what First Take had to say about it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Huge weekend for LeBron and the Lakers, so now who should be the favorites to win it all and why? Don't just chime in with who, also give me why. You can tweet us at Jason Fitz, which is remarkable because now some of you have started fighting on my Twitter wall, which is really incredible. I love NBA fans, at Jason Fitz. If you missed the first hour of today's show, you want to see what everybody's fighting about, go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One and a member FDIC. We'll get back to all the NBA talk and get back to some of your take, including, by the way, a player in the NBA that wasn't all that impressed with LeBron. You'll hear all that coming up. But right now, we'll get into a little bit of NFL as all eyes continue to be on the coming days and what it means for the franchise tag. Now, according to the Dallas Morning News, Dallas has offered quarterback Dak Prescott a contract that averages $33 million a year with a guarantee of $105 million. All right, if true, that'd be the 5th highest yearly salary and 4th highest guarantee, $105 million. So ESPN NFL analyst Bart Scott joined Max and Stephen A. to have the real question. Is Dak worth $105 million fully guaranteed?
It would be a different thing altogether if you had a slew of individuals you needed to pay. Last time I checked, Dallas Cowboys paid quite a few people. It's Dak that's been waiting in line and is damn near last. Ezekiel Elliott's been paid. Amari Cooper's about to get paid. Not only that, he hurt himself a lot because of his durability questions as well as everything else, that there's a legitimate argument to be made that you could get away with paying him less, or certainly less than the Michael Thomases of the world and a few others. So you got that going on. Excuse me, Michael Gallup is signed. Amari Cooper could get there. Ezekiel Elliott is there. Your offensive line is taken care of. Jalen Smith is taken care of. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And then Marcus Lawrence, let me not forget him. So what we're talking about here as it pertains to Dak Prescott is when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, evidently you believe that you have what it takes now. Yep. And if you say you have what it takes now, we ain't talking about years down the line. Why can I say that in football? Because you know this better than me, Bart Scott. How many times have they gone to quarterback? Could you take a pay cut? could you restructure your deal? Yep. The issue with Dak Prescott is the money, but not literally. What I mean by that is this. I can pay him now and then come to him and say, okay, a year from now, 2 years from now, we need modifications here because we got to take care of some of these other guys. Can you restructure your deal? Can you take less? Because we have seen quarterbacks do that. The issue in question, the principle is, you know I've earned it. Don't try to deny me what I've earned before you do those things. Come to me and take care of me first. Then we can negotiate in good faith. But it ain't good faith when you're trying to bully me and minimize me. If I'm Dak Prescott, think about this for a second here. Carson Wentz is guaranteed $108 million. Yep. $108 million. You're going to come to Dak with $105. You trying to tell me you can't come in with $3 million? $3 million? $3 million?
Stephen A's not wrong. Think about the concept around that. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. So many of you guys right now are going to come in and chime into whether or not Dak is worth $105 million fully guaranteed. Let me stress this. You're worth whatever you can get paid in the moment, right? And so as much as people are going to turn around and say, well, you know what? What has he won? What has he won? All right, well, Kirk Cousins' salary cap number next year, $31 million. What's Kirk won? Jimmy G's salary cap number, $26.6 million. Jimmy G didn't win the Super Bowl. Flacco didn't win the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan didn't win the Super Bowl. He's also up there in total value. But even above me on that, let's look outside the quarterback position. All right, DeMarcus Lawrence is the highest paid defensive end in the league, makes $21 million. Oh, is he not worth it because he doesn't win Super Bowls? Like, you're holding this arbitrary standard to one position on a team that has 53 players active every single week. You're holding that one player, no other position, or a single one of you, when free agency opens in 2 weeks, going to turn around and look at your favorite team and say, whoa, you can't pay a cornerback that much. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. But no, that's our argument for quarterbacks. That's the convenient argument for quarterbacks. And then tell me this. When's the last time your favorite team had to turn around and say, hey, guys, all right, got some issues. You know what? We paid the quarterback and now we're just done. Like, this whole logic that we need to keep down the value of any single quarterback because he hasn't won a Super Bowl or hasn't won enough is trash. All right. You are worth what you can get on the open market when it is your turn to get paid. And due to inflation and the way contracts work, I will go back. As you know, I don't hide my Raiders fandom. How many Raiders fans freaked out about the amount of money Derek Carr got? Now, Derek Carr makes about $22 million a year, which means his contract normalized. That's what happens to every single contract in the NFL. You pay too much today, and in 3 years, that contract isn't even that bad. That's just the way it works. And if the other part you have to remember, Cowboys fans, if your team won't pay Dak $105 million, there's a line of teams that will. There are a line of teams that will take Dak Prescott today over their quarterback, not the least of which are any of the teams that have quarterback needs right now, like the Buccaneers, like the Chargers, like every team that you've heard associated with Tom Brady. They would pay Dak Prescott that money. First Take, Your Take, brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Look at how much dang money Ryan Tannehill is going to get this year. I'm fired up about this money thing. Ryan Tannehill is going to get paid for what? Losing the AFC Championship game. And nobody's going to turn around and say, oh, but he didn't win a Super Bowl. Oh, this arbitrary line that we assign to quarterbacks just drives me crazy. We're going to keep taking your take as you guys are chiming in on the weekend for LeBron, obviously, the weekend for the Lakers. Who should be the favorites to win it all? We've gotten a bunch of tweets on it. There's now infighting on my Twitter wall as everybody's trying to figure out who's who. Aviator says the Lakers are the best team. In the first game, the Lakers were trying to find themselves. The Clippers were a good team that added Kawhi and George. Now the tide has turned. The Lakers got better, and the Clippers, who added new players, are trying to get better. Maybe, maybe. But remember, what separates those two teams, according to most NBA experts, is depth. And we won't see the depth put to the test until a 7-game playoff series. Coming up, LeBron scored or assisted on 19 of the Lakers' fourth quarter points, including each of the final 13. But that didn't impress one superstar in the NBA. You'll hear about it next. First Take, Your Take.